Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 28. I'm Jack.
I'm ASD.
You're going to kick us off with the show tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a little man called Harry who has been in hospital for a while now, for 3 weeks. He's had multiple operations and at the moment he's a bit subdued and he's not feeling particularly good. So we just wanted to say, we don't usually do this, but we just wanted to speak to Harry and just say we send you all of our support, all of our love. Mm-hmm. Everyone at Echoes of Glory is behind you. Remember that bad things happen to everybody, we can't help them, but it's all about how much we get up afterwards. So get well soon. We hope to speak to you soon, and when you're better we'd like to see you. We'll speak to you either over Skype or in the studio, so get well soon, mate.
Get well soon. So what's gone wrong over the last four games?
Well, I haven't been on the show, so that's been a thing. I don't know, that I was sat here waiting for you and I was thinking we're not here to talk about results. We are here to talk about results, but we can't guarantee results, right? What we're here to talk about is the performance and how the team approached it and the players and all that sort of stuff. Seems obvious, but it's what we've got to talk about. The team was there to beat Southampton. We were beating them all day long in the first half. And I think it's the same with the last four games. I think we could have had Arsenal, we could have had Chelsea. Like, some people say we haven't been lucky. But I'm not, like, I do think you create luck. And if we're just relying on lucky chances to either go in or not, then we're not controlling games like we should do. I think there's a mentality issue. I really, really do think there's a mentality
issue. It's interesting you said that, actually. So a couple of points before we talk about mentality. Is it a case of we had the rub of the green when Kane was out and we did win a lot of games late on that potentially we might, and now we're struggling to get results? So are they sort of evening themselves out?
A little bit, definitely a little bit. Like, if you have a look at Man United versus PSG, us versus Dortmund, the reverse could have happened very, very, very easily. And, you know, for all the chances that we may have missed against Southampton, we had one that went in against Dortmund, and that's the rub of the green. I think there's a... I was thinking, like, when we haven't got as many players, the team sort of has to pick itself, and we don't have many options, and so we have to play really well with that team. Now maybe we've got too many options, if we're not talking about mentality.
Well, no, let's talk about mentality, because Up Sharks on Reddit, brilliant name, has said that mentally we've failed again. Year after year it happens, and it's no different. I think we break the moment a team that shouldn't beat us does, or that if our title chances go away, we just become so unmotivated and we mentally collapse. I think that's a really good point, because that has happened. Well, we've been in great title races, and then all of a sudden we're out of it, and then we do seem to sort of drop away. But I mean, we're in a really dangerous situation now. If we drop away, we're not even going to get Champions League football, so we've got to be extremely careful in these next 9 games that are left.
We've dropped 9 points where we shouldn't have dropped, or 10 points or whatever it is. I think I've got 6 reasons here. Kane does change the team, and I think there is a reliance on him to be that centre forward to go and get all the goals, whereas when he's not here, everyone had to muck in. Obviously you had Llorente, but everyone was,
do you think everyone else ups their game then when Kane's not there?
They have to take more responsibility, and it's not all about Kane. Eriksen has gone quiet now. He's played 120 games since June 2017. That's a lot of games, but and I don't get this, he's looking for another club. Why would Real Madrid want him? I don't know. You know, he's 27 now, he should be pulling the strings and bossing it. He's not. Maybe he's knackered. I don't think he's been distracted. I think there's something off about him.
Do we think the absence of Dele Alli is a big thing with Eriksen?
Massive. Dele is our most important player. And I mean our most important player. More important than Kane, because we can get goals elsewhere. Dele does an incredible job of sitting in between the two lines of midfield, like the attack and the defensive midfield, and pulling people all over the place. You cannot pick him up. You cannot pick him up. And so he drags everyone else out, all the opposition out of place, which gives space for everyone else to play. He was a nightmare first half on Saturday. Yeah. He was brilliant.
And he's such a clever player as well. Even when teams try and man-mark him, he'll then go and be a left back, wouldn't he, for 5 minutes and say, well, can't man mark me here then. Obviously, no one's ever going to do that.
He's amazing. My third point is most of all mentality, which is something just weak. Like, there was no fight second half. We were passing to the wrong people. We're not on Southampton yet. I just think there is a mentality issue where, you know, they talk, when you look at the European leagues, you'll have a look at Juventus when we went there and got 2-2 draw. They hadn't lost at home. People hadn't scored against them at home. We went and got 2 goals. Then we went 1-0 up. They just ground the game out. They scored 2 goals, and then they played the dark arts. We just don't have that killer mentality where you don't make a mistake. You don't make a mistake. We make mistakes, and we're paying for it now. It's a bit childish.
Well, PDog1 on Reddit said that
PDog
said that he thinks the lack of midfield personnel has become quite evident. Against Southampton, you thought Dyer was woeful in the first half, and second half dropped to a back three, leaving Sissoko in there on his own. Rates him highly, but he can't run it on his own right winks. I sort of get that, but then, you know, like you said earlier, when we've had injuries, we've coped. I thought that the Southampton one for me was a real shock. Like the Chelsea one, you know, we've not Chelsea got a great away. Record there. Yeah. The Burnley one,
we shouldn't be losing it,
but I think those games do happen. But that Southampton one for me was a shock because we were in complete control. Yeah. It was the Burnley one. I never necessarily felt that comfortable. Southampton at 1-0, I'm thinking we're going to go on and win this 4-0.
Yeah.
I really just thought we were going to batter them. So I think that's an interesting point. Spurs VIP on Reddit has said, "We've been made to look amateur for most of the back end of this season. The tippy-tappy style at the back from each wing used to work when we had that pass into midfield where it could be brought forward into the attack. Now that we don't have that, which was Dembele, and we can't link our defence with our front three or four, that's why Eriksen's playing deep and it doesn't improve our play. He can't necessarily beat a man." Now, I get the point that what Dembele did bring is something completely different. Mm. But then, and I get the criticism of Eriksen because he's frustrated me so much the last month. But then if we go back a month when we were picking results up, then, you know, lack of depth wasn't an issue and different formation wasn't an issue. So I think potentially we're reading maybe a little bit too much into it. I just think that Southampton loss was just a case of, like you say, switching off defensively.
It was unbelievable.
If you look at our defence, like the last 6-7 games, we've been conceding a lot of goals, like one or two a game. And it's like, when you're putting so much pressure on your strikers then, where you've got to get, at the moment, it feels like we've got to get three to win a game. That's how it feels as a fan.
And we can't score three.
Which is a dangerous position to be in, especially when teams are just sitting in and playing you on the break. But I'll take that as a point, and I do agree that we have lost a dimension, with Dembele, but he hasn't really, for me, been there that much for the last year. So
I take issue with the Dyer point. I mean, I was there, and we'll go on to that in a minute. I went to St Mary's for my first game of the season. I thought Dyer was really, really, really good. He dropped back. So we started with a back four, but then he would drop back, so it became a back three. And they did not enter our half. They barely got into our half, and that's because we had three at the back and then loads of other players just buzzing around, and Dyer was the central hub of that.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good, but I've only seen it from my seat.
He's one, and I struggle to understand this, that divides opinion, Eric Dyer. And people that aren't Spurs fans tend to say, "Oh, I don't really know what he does." But I think that's a massive compliment to him, because he does that job that's not noticeable.
Yeah.
He mops up, he's aggressive with and without the ball.
Yeah.
He keeps it ticking over. You know, he's not necessarily going to thread a beautiful pass through and set Kane up from 40 yards. Yeah. Although he did do that at Chelsea last year with Dele Alli, which I think everyone forgets about. So he has got that in his locker. But he's a player for me that just breaks up play and keeps us moving.
He's the engine.
He's such a big player. And like you said, with him there, we go to back three, back four, whatever. He can constantly change the formation just by having Dyer in the centre of the pitch.
I think he's one of our smartest players, and he translates the tactics and the shape movements into ways that we don't understand. Like when I remember when I sat with you for the last game of the season at White Hart Lane, and you've obviously got a qualification in coaching. I don't. And you were able to spot things and people moving that I just don't see. You've got a level one qualification. And these players are dealing with things beyond our comprehension. Yeah. And you can say we've been watching it for years. We don't understand what is going on the football pitch. We don't.
And we don't know what those players have been specifically told for that game as well.
Exactly.
And sometimes you look at it and you think, "Oh God, why does he keep playing that pass?" It's like, well, it must be something that they've picked out that's, you know, you might have to play that pass 10 times and you might only get it through once. But when you do, that'll be what kills them.
Chelsea away is a, you know, the Chelsea where we beat them 2-0 at home, Christian Eriksen to Dele Alli headers, they would have highlighted that. Walker running up, dropping it back to Eriksen. Eriksen putting the same ball into the same player twice. And it's the same with Eriksen scoring against Chelsea last year, where we went 1-0 down to the Morata header, and then Eriksen scored that worldie literally 2 minutes before he had done exactly the same thing, because we knew that was what was going to happen. Obviously, we're the echoes of glory. We know everything that's going on. I just wanted to make that very clear.
Yeah, he was upset, Maurizio, when we caught up with him at the weekend. Yeah. But, you know, it'd be okay. What do you make of this point? Then also on Reddit. So, we need to spend a good £250 to £300 million in the summer, maybe even more when you factor in paying who we already have more money. Are we that? Do you think that we're that far away? Do you think we're £300 million away from?
We're a Jack Grealish away from winning on the weekend. and we wouldn't be having that this discussion at all. Honestly, someone just to tighten up, boss it up, and to stop them running at us. The problem with it, on one hand, I think, who was it who said that?
This is potentially the best Reddit name I've ever heard. Tits McFloppin.
So TMF, I think, is right. Because you have a look at how much you pay for a decent centre-back. We're about to lose Toby. We need a decent centre-back. Yeah. Liverpool are paying ridiculous money for it. Liverpool are paying ridiculous money for keepers. Like, that £250 million is buying you 2.5 players of world-class talent. That's
not
mental.
But potentially not even world-class.
Definitely
if
not.
You look at it, like... And whether or not this is a player that you'd ever want to see at Tottenham, Harry Maguire, for example, is probably the best of the rest in the Premier League.
He's Michael Dawson.
How much would he... He would cost you, Jesus, 60, 70 million. 60,
and he's probably. Not worth that.
And for a player that's okay and is unproven at that level.
And we are a team where we are massively in debt because of the stadium. I know we've been saving up for two transfer windows, but we don't have 250 million. We're not Chelsea, we're not City.
I don't necessarily think that we are 250, 300 million pound away. I don't think we're that far off. We've been there for the majority of this season and also last season. Yes, we've been shocking the last month and we're now in a fight for top four. I completely get all that. Yeah. But I don't think that we're 300 million pound away from challenging City and Liverpool. I think we're one absolute class player. I think we are, maybe not him again because it divides opinion. I think if you put Gareth Bale in our side, I genuinely think that is the difference. If you look at the games that we've lost this season, where, you know, if we'd have won them, we'd be right up there. Wolves, Watford away, Burnley, and the Southampton one. If we'd have won all of them, 12 points, you'd be sat top of the league at the moment.
Yeah.
And those games are literally one goal either way,
yeah.
And you just need a moment of brilliance from a player.
Do you know what? I often agree with you, but I don't hear. I think we need four players and we need to actually exchange them for... I don't think Sissoko's good enough. I think we got 3 out of 7 and now 3 out of 10, now he's 7 out of 10. And he can't pass. He cannot pass long or short. And he can't shoot. And he's a bit like Aaron Lennon, where he does the really good bit and then he'll misplace a pass. He's got an awful first touch as well.
He's a player that this season has been used so effectively and I think he just gets his role now. He understands what he's got to do, and it's like, don't overcomplicate it. Don't just get the ball, give it to somebody that can kick it.
Yeah, he's an engine.
Don't worry.
But the difference between third or fourth and second and first is a player who can do that plus.
Yeah.
You know, what's his face?
Do you think we've got too much potential deadwood in our squad? Like, do you think we keep hold of players for too long? You mentioned Aaron Lennon.
Mm.
Someone like Lamella. We've had him for...
Lamella's next on my firing list.
Four or five years now.
Yeah,
have we potentially had him for too long?
He's
like, is he the type of player that we need to...
What more is he going to give to us? He's not quick. He's a really good passer. And he's aggressive, and we love that. He doesn't score enough, he doesn't assist enough, and he doesn't prove himself enough to start. That's that. If you want to change... Like, Man City bring on Riyad Mahrez. Now, we can't get Riyad Mahrez, but he'll change it. He scored the first goal last weekend in a 1-0, I think it was. Can't remember who they're playing.
Bournemouth.
Lamella isn't that player for us. He's a Europa League player. He's brilliant. He's not good enough for us.
Do you think then the reason that we've kept these players is purely because we know at the moment we can't afford to go out and get replacements?
Absolutely.
And the replacements we'd get would cost more and probably wouldn't even be any better than
Pochettino's
what we've got.
Pochettino's been overperforming in his job. Yeah, but we are. When Poch came out on the weekend, people said it was really bad, and he said, now we're in a fourth place battle, people will now see the level that we're at. This is the level we're at. He's right. Now, obviously, you shouldn't be saying that. People are saying it's the cracks. I love that straight talking. We are a fourth. We should be sixth. We should be Everton. That's the wages we pay. We keep on talking about it. That's the level we are. He has got more out. He has squeezed so much out of those players.
Yeah, he has. The table of however high up the league you pay in terms of wages, that tends to be where you finish. Is Tottenham a bit of an anomaly in that, in terms of, are our players just as good as the other sides on top of this, but yet we just don't pay them as much? So is the argument of we should be sixth actually a little bit misleading? Because if all of our players were at City, they would probably all be on £200-250 a week.
I think our first team competes with anyone in Europe. I really do. Maybe not Barcelona, but apart from that, I really do think. I think it's then about 12, 13, 14, 15. Who do you bring on to change the game, and then who plays when you're playing three games a week? That's the bit I'm talking about. And we cannot afford It's like Crenshaw. Crenshaw was never... Lamella is the new Crenshaw. He's not good enough to start. Mm. He's good enough for someone who is in sixth, but it's not good enough for him. We need players to be fighting for that first choice, and unfortunately we just don't have them.
Modric THFC on Reddit says, the last four games, lost away to Chelsea, this is normal. Draw at Wembley of Arsenal, decent result. Win away at Dortmund, really pressing performance. Lost away at Southampton without Poch after taking the result for granted. Not the end of the world.
No, and it's never the end of the world. I mean, the fact we've been in third for so long has just raised people's expectations. And I don't want to over-rely on that wages thing. Mm. It's just one part of the pie. That was why I was starting with the result thing. I'm just disappointed in how they approached the second half. Mm. It was just a bit of a... You know, I'm glad we haven't travelled all the way to Germany and then just been smashed. It's only down Southampton. Mm. But it just felt disrespectful for Southampton, for us. It wasn't right.
Mm. Let's talk about Southampton then. So you were there.
Yes.
So your first time at St Mary's.
My first time at St Mary's.
Which is a brilliant away ground.
Oh, it's amazing.
A great experience.
It reminded me a little bit of White Hart Lane.
Yeah. So tell us about the day then, start to finish.
So I got texted. So it was my birthday a couple of weeks. Thanks for all your birthday wishes. Didn't get any. Jav texted me, Javad... from a rival podcast, texted me and said, do you want to go? And I was like, obs. Like, it might be the only chance I get to see Spurs this season. So I gave up my season tickets. So I'm going to China. And I got the train from where I live in Letchworth down to King's Cross, then the tube, Piccadilly line, all the way through central London, then up to North Ealing, where Jav picked me up and we drove down. I came packed with... Jaffa cakes, two boxes of Jaffa cakes.
There's a question on Jaffa cakes later.
Oh mate, I will smash Jaffa. and hot cross buns. It was a cracking drive. Like, we parked 15 minutes away. We went to find some food. On the way, we parked. Like, Southampton is a fairly lovely city. Like, it's obviously rivals to Portsmouth. It's a dock city, so it's cold. It is cold. Yeah. Past the pub, and there's a couple of scallies. Outside, and they went, the ground's that way, like pointing the complete opposite way, and it was like, brilliant, that's the sort of place we're in. I mean, there are some proper, like, mouth breathing window lickers out there, but tell you what was interesting about St Mary's, it was full of families, kids, it was a really lovely
atmosphere.
It's a family
club, it is.
It wasn't leery at all, and that was really nice, because you do have to just walk through loads of different lanes in an estate, an industrial estate to get there. We were singing the whole first half, so it was a classic away game where when you weren't at your seat, when you're just in the foyer, people were singing all the dark songs, having a great time, and it was fun. Like, I miss that stuff. But then when you got to your seat, everyone was stood the whole time. I always end up sat next to the fat bloke, so I couldn't put my legs. I'm 6 foot.
Jaffa's lost a bit of weight, all right? So don't.
We had a great... we just stood and sang the whole time. There weren't many anti-Arsenal or anti-Southampton songs until they piped up, so it wasn't that bad. But like, when we were singing, "You're Going Down" and "Our Feet Is End," that really came back to bite us. Mm. The best one was, because obviously their song is "When the Saints Go Marching In," we have "When the Spurs Go Marching In," and we really outsang them. Mm. They don't have a noisy crowd. Yeah. They don't. They have literally like a handful of people in one block at the back singing.
That are giving it.
They're giving it. But their next away fans are always going to give it. So it wasn't that bad. Seagulls in the ground everywhere. Mm. Like there was five of them just flying around and rubbish everywhere.
I think the location of the away fans at St Mary's is great as well. You're right behind the goal. Like, it's a proper
the whole
packed
side
in.
Of it. Yeah,
yeah.
Like you have the whole back end of the pitch, which is great. But it was really family. Like, when you're outside, they had loads of like the academy players doing keep you up in competitions. Mm. They had the Saints band playing outside. It was really lovely. It was noisy when they scored. Tell you what, half time they had the Saints Mobile, which was a car with one of the mascots just on top of it waving to the crowd, which
amazing.
Was like the Pope Mobile. That was rubbish. And they had some guys taking penalties, trying to kick them hard. Like, one guy missed and all this lols. And then it was just quiet in the second half because we were rubbish.
What was it like when our goal went in? Because away from home, you celebrate a goal 10 times more than you do when you're at home, just because it goes off.
People are jumping all over the place, like people are falling over themselves, like people are happy because it had just been announced that we were going back to the ground, so people were singing this, "We go, we go." So people were genuinely happy. They were really happy, and so it was just part of the atmosphere, and we were battering them, and you relax a little bit more. So everyone was chilled. It was really happy. Then we came out, and you expect 10 minutes of them being on top. They made some changes. They brought Shane Long on, and who had to go off, so a sub got subbed. But it didn't stop and they were just playing balls over the top. We can't deal with balls over the top, like, we really can't. And so we got pushed back and back, and then their first goal went straight across our box from, and it went over our defenders and across the box, and it went. Sanchez could have touched it, Vertonghen could have touched it, Danny Rose let it go from his legs to turn and hit it, and what's his face,
Valerie
scuffed it in, and we were a bit like, undeserved, but come on, we got this.
It was strange defending.
It was weird.
It makes you, because when you see it, the first time you see it, you think, oh my god, what is Danny Rose doing? That is what you think. And in his when you watch the replay back, he goes absolutely crazy at Vertonghen and Sanchez, which makes you think, did he get a call, or did he not get a call and he just assumed? I think he is partly at fault, you don't get me wrong, because you leave the ball there, but there was some kind of communication thing there, because for all three of them to have left it was really, really weird.
I get why the centre backs can't touch it, because that's how own goals happen, right? So I get it. But I mean, it was calamitous, and it was, after performing so well defensively against Dortmund, it was just a bit embarrassing. You know, both games against Dortmund. The second goal, Kyle Walker-Peters takes him down about 10 yards further up the pitch from where it was taken.
I actually thought he had a decent game, Kyle Walker-Peters. Up until that, I thought he did. He did well.
It was noticeable that they isolated him. I've got the benefit of watching it, and we were watching him because we don't get to see him often. And he always had two men on him, and he does like to try and take people on. And only twice he got caught, but it did create chances for them.
I quite like the look of him as a fullback, though. I think for a youngster coming through, he hasn't played a lot of games. No. I think he's more than capable.
He was fine. And he just needs to be just calm down, still take some risks, but not all of them. Sometimes just hit it. Took someone down, Ward-Prowse, and I said to Javin, you could ask him, I said, Hugo is way too far to the left for such a central free kick. I know he's got a wall, but he was way too far, way too far. The free kick was unreal, and you've got to give it to Ward-Prowse.
His dead ball, his direct free kicks, his corners, everything are up there with anyone in the Premier League. Is so dangerous.
And it Ericsson had one in the exact same spot in the same end of the pitch and hit the bar.
He still hasn't scored a free kick in the Premier League since we were there for Swansea away.
Yeah.
And he got two in one game.
But Kane missing, we should have been 3-0 after 12 minutes.
Yeah, we had chances. And then at 2-1, this was the disappointing thing for me, we didn't look like scoring.
Not at all.
At 2-1. Like,
they didn't look like scoring more.
We didn't even, Llorente came on and we tried to put balls up, but they were aimless balls, literally hit and hope balls forward, not even into dangerous areas. We just didn't, at no point did I think we were going to get level.
Dele coming off changed the game for us as well, so that was a big deal.
It was always going to be tough for him to play 90 anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd rather he didn't, to be honest. I'd rather him be fit for the next round. When we all got out, like on the whistle, started to walk down, trying to see if we were going to get a goal, Spurs fans were pissed off. When all the Spurs fans went left, we had to go to the train station. We had to go right to get back to our chair. So through all the Saints fans, but they weren't, like, they were looking at us, and the kids were going, "You know, there's some Spuds." I've never got the Spuds thing, but no one gave it to us. On the way out, there were loads of scallies who weren't at the game. Some of them crossed the road in front of the car, and so as we drove off, I gave them a finger. And then we hit a red light.
in between this moment.
Stop wanking.
Oh, sorry.
But we made it back. We had some good chat on the way back. And then, tell you what, on the journey on the way back, I was texting the WhatsApp group. I was over it by then, because the journey back, it was like a 12-hour day. It was a long day. Woman watching a giraffe webcam. Do you not see this?
Oh, yeah.
On the train on the way back, so I could see what the woman next to me was watching. She was watching a giraffe webcam the entire way back. And I mean, like a 35-minute journey. And then texting her mate about what the giraffe was doing.
And it weren't really doing anything.
Weird. And eating crisps, and I ate.
The giraffe or the person?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Watch your space then for giraffe space.
So, good
day. A good day overall, but just a tough result.
Mate, I think it's getting older, having a kid, and just getting more in control of my emotions. I'm just numb to it all now. I had a great time with Jav. I love seeing Spurs. It's easy to support them when things are going well.
It is great down there. I had an away day down there a few years ago, slightly better result, and it was actually the first game when Tim Sherwood was in charge. That was the game. And Lallana scored after 5 minutes.
Adebayor?
he brought Adebayor back in. Adebayor got a brace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in 1-0 Lallana after 5 minutes, yeah, and we were thinking, oh my God, we're literally going to get hammered here. Adebayor equalised in about 35 minutes. Soldado put in an unbelievable cross, yeah, and he scored. It was 1-1 at half time, so we were thinking, right, here we go. We scored right at the start of the second half,
yeah,
which was an own goal. So Danny Rose got the wrong side of his man, hit a really ferocious crossing. Basically, like the goal Valerie scored, if Vertonghen had put it in, that was what the goal was. So then we're 2-1 up and we were given it. We were thinking, this is quality. Ricky Lambert scored after a Hugo howler.
Yeah.
He's come rushing out the box and they played a 1-2 round him. And then Adebayor got the winner.
I remember.
And it was just, it was unbelievable. Gazzaniga was in goal for Southampton.
Jeez.
It was a brilliant away day. Yeah. We were all giving it a full time. It was, loved it. You're going to do some sort of quiz or something? You're hiding
your
paper.
I've got a quiz for you.
Okay, let's do that and then we'll do the normal one after.
I've royally stolen this from Atletico Mint. I'm going to read you four things from the Spurs shop and you just have to tell me which them in order from most expensive to least expensive. That's it.
Easy.
So, that's not easy. So the first one is and I'm just going to read you the description.
Yeah.
Also, you can, the second option on the Spurs thing online is NFL, and you can just buy NFL kits from all the other clinics. I don't agree with it. Anyway, number one is a Spurs men contrast zip onesie. You could not be more comfortable supporting Spurs, even if we had a 6-0 lead. This Spurs men's contrast zip onesie is a loungewear and nightwear favourite.
Okay.
The unique Tottenham Hotspur onesie has a relaxed fit but retains warmth.
Okay.
Number one.
I reckon that's around 30 quid. Okay.
Number two, 2018-2019, signed football in a cube. The Spurs signed football in a cube is signed by many of the 18-19, not all, many of the first team players and supplied in an acrylic cube. The Spurs signed football comes in an attractive presentation, Perspex plastic cube.
Okay, I reckon that's slightly more. I reckon that's about 35, 40, but okay.
Okay. Spurs quality crystal tankard. Now, I don't know whether that's Spurs quality or quality crystal, but Spurs quality crystal tankard. This collectible Spurs quality crystal tankard has a club badge etched onto the side, a great piece of the kitchen Spurs collection.
That can't be worth much more than 20 quid, surely.
Spurs oval cufflinks. These wonderful Spurs oval cufflinks capture the iconic Tottenham Hotspur cockerel where these were prized on special occasions. So, onesie, signed football, crystal tankard, oval cufflinks.
I'm going to go signed football, number one.
Yeah.
Onesie, number two.
Yeah.
Tankard, number three.
Yeah.
Cufflinks, number four.
You got one right. The football in a cube is worth £250. Well, is charged at £250.
I didn't think that would be worth... Okay.
No, a lot of money. Number two is a Spurs oval cufflinks. Doesn't say what they're made of. I think they're just made of metal. £60.
60 quid?
60 quid. The contrast onesie is 40 quid. Mm. And the crystal tankard is 25.
Christ. Well, that's where all our money's going then at the moment, isn't it?
Not my money. I'm not paying for that.
All right. Well, it's time for the proper quiz now. The We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
Yeah, better quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
Other quizzes are available. So, I will give you a game that Spurs have played in. I'll give you the date of that game. I'll give you the formation as well, because I'm feeling generous.
Yeah.
Half of that starting 11, and your job is to fill in the blanks. Tell me who else was starting for Spurs that day. So, this game is Tottenham 4, Liverpool 0, September 2011.
I know Modric scored in this game, as Adebayor scored a belter, and
we played a 4-4-2 formation in this game.
This was AVB. This was I missed two games this season.
The Modric goal was a scream.
Unreal.
In this.
Mate, this was like first game of the season because Benny scored.
Yeah.
After. Yeah.
You should be able to get this quite easily then. Okay, so 4-4-2 we played in this game.
Yeah.
I think it was Harry Redknapp actually this.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper in this game was a question mark.
Yeah.
Right back, Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Centre back, Ledley King.
Yeah.
Other centre back, question mark.
Yeah.
Left back, Asui Koto.
Damn it.
Your two central midfielders, one of them's Modric.
Yeah.
Other one's a question mark.
Yeah.
Left hand side of midfield was Bale.
Yeah.
Right hand side is a question mark.
Yeah.
And your two strikers, one of them is Adebayor.
Yeah.
And the other one is a question mark.
Palacios played.
He's not the centre midfielder.
He gave away. Is it not?
He's not the other centre midfielder.
It's not Zakora.
Not Zakora.
It's not. JJ was gone.
Not JJ.
Livermore?
Not Livermore.
Not Palacios. Not, Sandro?
No. He was a classic Harry Redknapp midfielder, this guy. Black boots, shirt tucked
Parker.
In. There we go.
Parker.
Scotty Parker. There's Parker and Modric in the middle.
Lennon?
Nope.
Not Crenshaw again.
Crenshaw. Was Nico Crenshaw. He was right-hand side of midfield.
Defoe up front?
Defoe up front. Great shout. So you need your goalkeeper and centre-half.
It's either Friedel.
Yeah. Brad Friedel. You're smashing, absolutely smashing.
Mate, this is my favourite era.
You're smashing this.
And then back is either going to be Cabool or Dawson.
Who are you going to go with?
Dawson.
Oh, it's Cabool. It's Cabool.
Not bad, though.
Great knowledge.
I swear.
What great knowledge.
But I swear that this was when we had the yellow kit down the side.
It's this Sky Sports. So.
But. Yeah,
so Friedel in goal, Walker, King, Cabool, Asuikoto.
Amazing game.
Parker and Modric, Crenshaw, Bale, Defoe, Adebayor.
Modric scored the goal that everyone thinks he always scored, which he never, ever, ever did. Outside the box, from the left hand side,
top corner.
From a Defoe shot that came back out to him. Benny scored?
He didn't. I can't remember. So Adebayor got two, though, because I remember him getting one, which was someone hit it and he followed in on the rebound and dinked it over Rayner and then put it in. It was a great finish.
And the other one was a turn and volley, which he injured himself hitting his foot. It's called the other
I feel like Defoe might have scored the other one.
Yeah.
The Asuikoto was another game, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of two games I missed.
The Asuikoto one you're thinking of, free kick comes back to him, then he rifles in the top corner. That was when we beat him 2-1 and Besson scored
in the second half on his
debut.
Palacios got fouled for that free kick.
Yeah. There we go. So that's we are Tottenham Hotspur quiz. Who do we want in the Champions League quarterfinal?
Ajax. And the reason that we want Ajax is because of our history with them. Ajax fans, so obviously we're the Yid army, which is very Jewish. Ajax fans call their club the Super Jews, and they have songs with the lyrics such as "Anyone who doesn't jump is a Jew," and fans have the Star of David, and that's because for Ajax, Amsterdam used to be called the Jerusalem of the West before World War II. Some, there were 80,000 Jews said to have lived in the city at the time. Most of them were Ajax fans. The De Meer Stadium, which was at the time where they played games in the 90s, was in eastern Amsterdam, which is where most of the city's Jews. So we've got a partnership with them. But then also, they are... like, they don't have much money. The money they got from winning that first Real Madrid game, which they didn't even win, the TV money was more than their entire revenue.
It's mad.
They got from the league of the previous season.
It's mad.
And look what they're doing. I think it's a celebration of football, what we do. Because I don't want to play City or Man United or any of the whores. I want to play football. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you want Ajax.
Ajax.
I'd be buzzing with Ajax. I'd also be buzzing with Porto.
Yeah.
And my reasoning is completely different to yours, is that they're the weaker sides. At this point now, I know we always say, oh, the Champions League is about the big moments and all that and playing the top sides. I don't want the top sides in this round. I want a softer game. Don't get me wrong, Ajax or Porto are going to be an incredibly difficult game over two legs. They've all won knockout games to be here, so they're all good sides. Yeah, but that, compared to playing City if they get through, or you know,
Man
Barcelona
United,
like
Liverpool.
See, I don't think United would be that too, the draw that would be alright for us. I fancy us against United over two legs.
Me too.
We battered them at Wembley. I know they got the result, but I think over two legs we would beat them. Who do you not want? What's the disaster
Barca
draw?
Barca or City, they're the two, just because City is a boring game, Barca is Barcelona.
I wouldn't. And they're not through yet. If Liverpool get through, I would not want to play Liverpool. I think over two legs, I just couldn't see us beating them.
I don't think they are getting through. And then I think they might win the league. Which
I think a draw that would be, and they're not through yet either, a draw that would be absolutely horrific for us would be Atletico.
Oh, God, I don't even want to think about
that. I think that would be an awful, I think we would really struggle against them. 4-4-2, you say we don't deal well with balls over the top. Balls to Costa, balls up to Griezmann. That would be a really difficult
I don't want to think about that.
So we want Ajax. I think we're in agreement there. That'd be fantastic. There was some brilliant news announced last week that test events have been confirmed for the new stadium this month. And if all goes well in both of them, we'll be looking at our first proper league game first week of April.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely unbelievable.
2.5 weeks away.
Unbelievable. I've applied for both the test events.
Yeah.
So the first one is an under-18s game against Southampton.
Yeah.
That's 30,000 capacity.
Yeah.
And the second one is a Tottenham Legends game, 45,000 or so.
I'm in China, because it's next Sunday. I'm in China, or I'll be flying home from China.
For the under-18s one.
Which I'm really sad about, because you know I love an under-18s game for footballing reasons. And so Don is meant to be sorting out tickets for the... so we'll see how far that we get with them.
But yeah, I cannot wait. So hopefully successful with the applications for that. If you're going to those events, let me know. You want to meet up before, that would be great.
That'd be cool.
Do an interview there and get you on the pod. That'd be fantastic.
It's usually weirdos who know us from the pod. So if you're normal,
but you're probably not listening. So there we go. We've got some listener questions. So Carl Woodbridge on Twitter. Friend of the show, good friend of the show, said, for some inexplicable reason, the return of Kane has reduced the work rate and affected form of Son. Has confidence become arrogance with Kane returning? Does the squad need an overhaul?
Well, we've half answered that. I'd like to see stats on the work rate, but Son has just gone into a more disciplined position. He's not up front anymore, so it is a shame he's... there were two little Korean men and women at the game, and they weren't looking when Son came on, and Son did nothing during the game, which was sad for him, but they had a great time. I do think Kane has changed the team. He's the best striker in the world, so it will change how you play. It'd be interesting to see him dropped for a game, see what happens. You can't drop him because he gets goals.
I've said this a few times about Kane, and that I feel like when he's not there, we get so many men forward because we know we've all got to contribute something going forward in this game. When he's there, and you see it mostly in the Chelsea game, ball goes up to him and it's just sort of all gone and like try and score against four, and he's not that good, he can't do it.
No.
So it does affect the way we play, but you know, we are 100% at our best when Kane's in the side. Yeah. It's just...
What is your first 11 right now? Right now for
at
Liverpool?
At the moment...
Everyone's fit.
For the Liverpool game...
Yeah, I mean, that's our best team.
For the Liverpool game, I'll play back three.
Yeah.
To try and combat. So Sanchez, Vertonghen, Alderweireld.
Left back.
I'd have Rose left back, Aurier right back. Central midfielders for that game, if fully fit, I would... be going Sissoko, Winks for that game. This is just what I think would do the best job in that game.
Who are you missing out for Eriksen?
And then I would go Son, Kane, Dele as the front three, because it's going to have to be soaking up pressure, being extremely disciplined without the ball, and then playing on the break. And Dele can drop in and make that a midfield three, and you leave two up.
Yeah.
That's the kind of side that I think would go for. You know, I love Eriksen. He's not been that great recently anyway, so I think form is one reason why he wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Dyer's one of my favourite players, but I think in that game against Liverpool, you need players that are quick over 5 yards, and that's probably the only question mark of him that sometimes people can run past him.
Yeah.
With having Sissoko and Winks in there, defensively, Harry Winks in those games offers a lot, because he gets about people really quick. Dyer gets about people in a completely different way. Games that are horrible and aggressive and nasty, you want him in there. You want him and Sissoko in there, because they'll deal with that. But it won't be that type of game against Liverpool's quick football. And I think that's a Harry Winks type game.
The Sissoko foul was a weird one, because he raked his studs down Redmond's leg and then he got in Redmond's face. He should have gone for that.
He was lucky to get away with it.
Very lucky to get away with it.
Chris Shepherd on Facebook says, do you agree with Rio Ferdinand's point that the Spurs team of 2 years ago is better than the current team?
I mean, it's difficult to argue against it, but then we had the emotion of the White Hart Lane as well, which I think the crowd needs to take a look at itself, because obviously we're such an emotional team that I think the crowd needs to play a bigger part. We moan too much. Obviously, we're tired of going to Wembley. We hate it. It's not our home. But that impacts the team. And on the flip side, the emotion of the last season at Wembley, not getting lost in the White Hart Lane, I think that plays a massive part.
Yeah,
as well.
And I also think that, you know, like, our team then versus our team now hasn't changed a lot.
No.
We've lost Walker and our right back. You know, I think Trippier gets a lot of... He gets slated more than he should do, in my opinion, but he's not quite at the level as Walker. Rose's level in that season, that's the best he's ever been.
Yeah.
And I think he's been good this season, but he's not quite been there. So I think the team's not changed too much, but that team were just seemed unbeatable. I also think that the league that season was a little bit weaker. I don't think the teams were as strong that season.
I agree.
But I would probably say, if I could have that team of 2 years ago or this one, I'd have the one of 2 years ago.
I'd have, and the crowd and the ground.
And just that whole season.
Arsenal 1-1 doesn't happen at White Hart Lane. It doesn't.
Yeah.
We have on a serious point, the England-Wales, I'm not here to have a go at England, but the atmosphere at the Millennium Stadium,
it does make
makes
a difference.
Massive difference.
It does.
Because you feel like you're fighting something. You don't fight anything at Wembley because you can't hear anyone.
Richard Stanton on Facebook said, which team has got the worst fans, do you reckon? Chelsea for me, bunch of racists.
Yeah, Chelsea, because they're proud of how disgusting they are. I just can't stand him.
I mean, I think it depends in terms of what you mean by worst fans. If you're talking, you know, that kind of behaviour, Chelsea and West Ham are absolutely awful, fans. They're just, everything about them is just
disgusting.
It's not nice at all. The modern day City, Man City fan is shocking.
Yeah.
If you know the old school lot that were there when they were in the second division, fantastic. But the modern day supporters of City are pretty poor.
Liverpool, there's loads of them. They're all plastic. They never go to games, and they're so entitled. And they've been awful. We finished what, 7 of the last 9 seasons above them. So entitled for nothing.
Javed on Facebook: how many Jaffa Cakes can ASD finish in one sitting?
I can tell you. Oh, mate,
you reckon you could do 100?
That's a lot, man. I did about 30 on the trip.
If it was 100 and you were being sponsored for a charity in one sitting, so
I'd give it a real good go. That's how many boxes? 5 boxes. I would have a good go.
I reckon you could do that.
I reckon I could do that.
Believe in yourself, you can do it. And Coys on Reddit has said, I would never blame Kane for our lackluster performances, as the man is simply phenomenal. However, the stats need to be seriously considered in question. Why have we performed so badly since his return? And we've sort of talked about this, but I think it's just a combination
of
a number of things.
On the head. Kane can't be blamed because Kane is only responsible for Kane's work rate. Everyone else needs to step up. It's that simple.
Yeah. But thanks as always, everyone, for your questions.
Yeah,
there's some great ones there. We might be podding next week, we might not be, we'll see. I think Stato might be about, so if he is, that would be fantastic.
Yeah,
you're in China.
Yeah, Ni Hao.
So yeah, bring us back the gifts that you did from your previous visit. Still waiting for them. Enjoy the week, everyone. There's no games, so you know, it can't be a terrible weekend this weekend. So there we go. But remember, the future's bright, the future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.